right now.
This is
2FM's Game On.
Hello and good evening. Firstly, big thanks to Demi and Mikey for driving us through the afternoon. It is Wednesday, October 29th. I'm Shane Dawson and you are listening to Game On. Coming up between now and the new music show at 7, Keith Tracy previews Shamrock Rovers' clash with Galway United as the Hoops look to finally secure the League of Ireland title. Scottish journalist Mark Walker details the ongoing unrest at Celtic, while Damien Lawler has the latest Gaelic Games news, including an interview with Meath star Jordan Morris, who is flying high with Cavan club Kingscourt. So if you want to have your say on any of the above or anything else besides, you can text 51552 or message us on WhatsApp 087 187 9200.
This is
2FM's
Game On.
Good evening, good evening. It is great to have your company here on 2FM. Welcome along to the show. Welcome along, Keith Tracy. How's the form?
I'm great, Shane. How are you?
Very well. Very, very well. Good news for Irish football fans. Evan Ferguson started for Roma. 34 minutes gone in their match against Parma. Nil all. Bad news for Irish football fans. Evan Ferguson was subbed off after only 7 minutes.
Yeah, and I'm reading the text commentary of the game. I believe it was a heavy challenge that Evan suffered. So hopefully it's just a knock and it's not like a ligament or a muscle tear or anything like that. Hopefully it's just a knock because, as we say, we all look at Evan through Irish eyes, and we all need him to be that player to score all the goals that we need of him in an Ireland jersey. So hopefully it's not too bad.
Yeah, we briefly touched on it yesterday in a European football chat, but Gian Piero Gasparino, the Roma manager, whose opinion is key to Evan's progress, has publicly swung between support and criticism of the striker, yet to score for Roma bar pre-season, of course. And there is chatter that in Roman media that it could be a Robbie Keane part two situation and that could arise and his time could be cut short. They're linked with Joshua Zirkzee, they're linked with a few other strikers as well. And even reading some of the quotes, Keith, like, if I have to be honest, for the first time this season, which was last Friday, I saw him train the right way. He's 21 and he's come here after a few not exceptional seasons, which he didn't play much, so we need to be patient with him. For a manager to say that the training methods of a young player new to the country were below par would be normal for pre-season or so, but for a coach to say that of a player after 2 months in a new environment, how much of a concern is that?
It is a little bit of a concern. Obviously, the manager has said he's given Evan a little bit of time to get up to speed, a new country, and new house, new teammates, new dressing room, all that type of stuff. But he said the grace period is pretty much over now, and Evan hasn't got up to scratch. He's played, Roma have played 9 games after the game today. It'll be 9 games against Parma. Evan's played a good chunk of those games, a good chunk of minutes, but he's only come out of there with one assist. And we said at the start when we heard Evan Ferguson was linked to going to Roma, people asked me, is it a good move? And I said, it has the potential to be a brilliant move. It also has the potential to be a very bad move. And if he doesn't play football, it's a bad move. And Evan's football, when he plays for Roma, is not bad. His hold-up play is good at times. He makes the odd raw mistake, as you would expect from a young player. But if you don't score goals and you're the centre-forward for Roma, you're not going to stay in the team. It's as simple as that. So for as good as some of the performances have been, other performances haven't been great, as the manager has alluded to. But we haven't seen that, we haven't seen Evan learning. We're not seeing Evan hitting the back of the net. And that is ultimately what will keep you in the team. And Leon Bailey is the player who's just replaced him. And a lot of people, Premier League fans will know and Aston Villa fans will know, Leon Bailey obviously just left Aston Villa to go to Roma. Very, very good player. So the level of player Evan is in and amongst is very, 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 very talented boy. So, like I say, if you're not contributing with goals, you're not going to be in the team for too long.
Yeah, and he was given his chance playing up front with Dybala and Sule off him, and hopefully it's not because he wasn't fit to play last week, and this was given a chance and then coming off injury. It's really, really unfortunate. Let us turn our attention to Shamrock Rovers' clash with Galway United. We can hear from Shamrock Rovers manager Stephen Bradley, who understands the frustration that the Hoops haven't lifted the League of Ireland title just yet.
No, I understand people outside and are frustrated, and we've had a few opportunities to win the league the last few weeks, so I totally understand the questions. But it's our job in here to remain calm and understand that the final part in any league winning season is always the hardest part. It always feels like it takes ages to come round, and you have to work that a little bit harder. And we just need to stay focused on what we do, and we know what we've got to do to get over the line.
Is it a mentality issue amongst the whole squad and the management team? Can you put your finger on... They've all been narrow defeats, like by the one goal. Just why you haven't been able to just get there?
No, you don't win what this group has won on the verge of what they're doing this year if you haven't got strong characters with incredible mentality in our group. So like I said, it's small little bits going against us at the moment, but that's football. That happens. It happens at every season. It happens. Right now, it's just happened to us in the last few weeks. We just need to stay calm, keep trusting what we're doing, and like I said, this group have been incredible for so long. Mentality is amazing. They just need to stay focused.
Is there a sense of calm still in the dressing room then? There wasn't players having a go with each other yesterday post full time.
No, that's not how we work. That's not how we operate. Like I said, they're on the verge of winning the fifth league title. They're in the cup final. They're in the knockout phases of Europe. You don't do that if there's something. Miss with your mentality. That's an incredible mentality. Things are going against us. Players are disappointed. Players are hurt. We're hurt. But that's normal. When you're used to winning and you lose games, it's not a nice feeling. And we want to put that right. But we're not a team that come in and start throwing things and shouting and ranting. It's about understanding what happened, understand how we can get better and move on.
From your point of view, would you have been able to rest players maybe this week with the AEK, with the cup final coming up, and now your plans have to change slightly?
No, we'll always change the group. You've seen that last week against Celje. You've seen it against Derry, and you'll see it tomorrow night. You'll see it Saturday. We trust the squad completely. We trust every player in the squad. We always rotate when we have heavy fixtures, which we have, and that will continue to be the case.
All fit and healthy in the squad?
A couple of injuries. Danny Mandrew, Danny Grant, Darren Green. A couple of them might be this week. If not this week, definitely next week. But everyone else is okay.
Stephen Bradley speaking to our own Joe Stack there earlier in the week after the defeat to Derry. Listen, I've posed this question a lot during the week, and Shamrock Rovers will be crowned League of Ireland champions. It's just a matter of case of when. Would you be concerned with the run of form at all?
Possibly a little bit. Maybe they've, you listen to so many pundits and people, and even yourself there, Shane, and I'm guilty of it as well. We're all saying it's only a matter of time, and that can seep into the dressing room, and you think we don't really have to do an awful lot here. Having said that, I don't believe Shamrock Rovers haven't turned up and have just thought it's only a matter of time. I think they've been unlucky in a couple of games. They've only been defeated by the odd goal here or there. The late Michael Duffy goal as well snatched it from them as well. So there's been a little bit of unlucky, but you know, all in all, you look at Shamrock Rovers' season and it's largely the odds on to do a double. I still, you know, we all still expect them to win the league. The FAI Cup against Cork, you would imagine they're heavy, heavy favourites for that. They're in the group stages of Europe, so I think sometimes we look at Shamrock Rovers and at the start of the season with how well Shelbourne were, with how good St. Pat's were at the end of last season, a lot of people were talking about Shamrock Rovers not even being in the race. Now we're saying, oh, they've won the league, but they haven't quite won it early enough for us now, and it just seems like the goalposts keep moving and keep moving for Shamrock Rovers. And I get that they're the best team in the League of Ireland by a country mile and they're held to a higher standard, but they're still going to get it done, and I imagine they will win the FAI Cup and they're in the group stages of Europe. So it's so hard to be in any way critical of Shamrock Rovers, but their form over the last couple of weeks haven't been great. You haven't won a game of football since the 5th of October. That was against Kerry in the FAI Cup. 4 losses on the bounce. They failed to score in 3 of the last 5, so there is little worries there, but honestly I think they'll win tonight and they'll put it to bed. But I don't think it's going to be easy, Shane. I think Galway demand a little bit of respect, but right now they've took 7 points from the last 9 available. They beat Cork, they've beaten Bowes, and they've drawn with Drogheda. So all of a sudden Galway look like they're putting up a fight and they don't want to be in that relegation playoff. And if somehow Galway can win tonight, they'll go 3 points ahead of Sligo and Waterford with 1 game to go. So although, you know, there's still goal difference and everything else to come into it, it would put Galway into a commanding position with 1 game to go. So huge game at both ends of the table.
Yeah, and with Shamrock Rovers going into it, and as we said, we're all guilty of saying they're champions elect, they're going to be crowned champions, but they're coming up against teams, say the defeat to Shells and Derry, two teams pushing for Europe, still in the hope for a second spot, Galway looking to avoid getting involved in a relegation playoff and putting some daylight between them and Sligo Rovers and Waterford. So it hasn't been easy, and we've seen the competitiveness of this league throughout. If you're at Gerry Nash and Cork City, how are you viewing the fact that it's one win in seven, it's four defeats in a row, it's three league defeats in a row? Now, having said that, I could be stopping my tracks here and they go out and absolutely hammer Galway and hop off Sligo Rovers at the weekend, but for what we know at the moment...
Gerry Nash's, what would Gerry Nash's team talk be? I think he would say that there has been weaknesses highlighted over the last couple of weeks. And to be fair, Shane, even more to your point, people were stopping me in the street saying, you know, it's going to be Shamrock Rovers dominance for the next 4 or 5 years. I can't see anything but... You haven't won a game in the last couple of weeks, and all of a sudden now people are saying, are you even going to win the league? It's so reactive with Shamrock Rovers, it's crazy. But
League of Ireland fans, fickle. Never keep Tracy.
Very, very short memory football fans, including myself at times. But like I say, it's hard. It really is hard. They've lost to Shelbourne, you know, could have went either way. That was a 1-0, defeat. Lost to St. Pat's, lost to Selgey, lost to Derry. If you look at those games in isolation, any team could lose to any of those teams. Like Derry, very, very strong. Selgey, very good team. Pats on their day can beat anybody, and Shelbourne are the champions, and we're never ever going to give up the league to Shamrock Rovers as easily as maybe people had thought. So I think maybe people had the bit between their teeth more than Shamrock Rovers, maybe wanted it that little bit more. But again, I haven't looked at Shamrock Rovers and thought, you lads are on the beach already. I think it's a million miles away from that. So it's a matter of time, and there's no point in pressing the panic button. And I think Stephen Bradley's interviews in the last couple of weeks have been brilliant, because it just oozes, been here, done it before, lads. There's no need to press the panic button. The history books will show that Shamrock Rovers will win the league, and nobody will care that they lost a couple of games between here and there.
Yeah, we will see. We will get team news with John Kenny from Tallaght Stadium a little bit later on before 7 o'clock this evening. The race for Europe, Keith Tracy, Derry City currently in second, Shells third, St. Pat's fourth, but Pat's Bowes and Drogheda, of course, all on 51 points, and we have a cracking Saturday to look forward to. All half four kickoff, Shells against Pat's, Drogheda against Bowes, Shamrock Rovers against Sligo Rovers, Cork City against Derry City, and Waterford host Galway United. Who do you feel will emerge in fourth position?
I know who I want. Who do I think? I've honestly no idea. You can't say with any sort of certainty that I think Pats will do it or I think Bowes will do it, because everybody, and again, you could probably throw Shamrock Rovers into that over the last couple of weeks, everybody within the league has been inconsistent at one point or the other. So very, very hard to say with any sort of authority. But look, I know I'm not a neutral in this. I played for St. Pat's, I played for Drogheda, but I think every neutral within the League of Ireland is looking at Drogheda, I think, I hope, and they do it, because they've had such an up and down season.
How much will that motivate them, considering they were missed out on the chance of Conference League qualifiers?
I think massively. I think there's players there like Brennan, who'll be looking, and you know he's obviously going towards the end of the career, towards the end than he is at the start. So he'll be looking, thinking, I want to play in Europe. And it will motivate the dressing room. They will feel aggrieved because it was an off-the-field issue why they're not playing there. So I think neutrals would love Drogheda to do it. But, you know, Bowes have been so good going forward that you wouldn't be surprised if they go and do it.
How will the manner of defeat, though, throwing away a 2-goal lead, 96-minute goal conceded to Shells for them to win it, like, how will that affect them even mentally going into a match? It's not in Dalymount Park, making the trip up the M1.
Yeah, it could, but look, I honestly think it's like a one-game shoot-off. It's like a final, isn't it, now, for everybody? Go and win the game. There's no point thinking, oh, well, last week this, or next week possibly that. It's all within the 90 minutes. And if somebody had said to Bowes, Drogheda, or maybe even St. Pat's, look, you've one game to get yourself into Europe next season, they'd all have been chomping at the bit and probably fancied it as well. So I can't wait. I think it's an absolute grandstand finish. I know people are saying, oh, Shamrock Rovers have won it at a canter. Some people are saying they can't win it. Some people are saying they're winning it at a canter. Some people are saying it's boring.
You will never appease League of Ireland fans, Keith.
I think it's brilliant. We're going down to the last day. There's so much on the line. And I read somewhere that 9 out of 10 teams all have something to play. Or maybe it'd be 8, would it? Because Cork are relegated and Shamrock Rovers at the league. So, well, we're saying that Shamrock Rovers,
Shamrock Rovers can technically still not be crowned champions if there's a massive 11 goal swing in goal difference.
So yeah, so we've 8 out of 10 teams with something to play for on the last game. Brilliant. It's going to be a dramatic day.
Yeah, already looking forward to next season. This season hasn't even finished yet. And it will be an interesting scenario if it is a case of Pats and Bowls fans cheering on Shamrock Rovers in the Sports Direct Men's FAI Cup final for 4 to get Europe. 51552 is the text number. Well done to Carla Ward and the Ireland team last night. Great second half performance. Ireland were terrific in the second half last night. Thoroughly deserved to go through. We talk about the manner of defeat and how that will affect Bowls this weekend. The manner of the victory grinding out it was a 2-1 defeat on the night, but a 5-4 victory on aggregate to get promotion to League A and everything that it comes with it. Safety net and an easier path or potential easier path into the World Cup in Brazil in 2027. How impressive was that second half performance?
I thought you were brilliant in the second half. The first half, when Woolart scored that fourth goal, it was just a beautiful team move. You could see the triggers when they were attacking down the left wing. Woolart is on the right wing, but when the ball goes in behind, she knows to make that move to the edge of the 18-yard box, and the fourth striker backing off our defensive line. It was a lovely finish as well. I think the finish went quite under the radar. A lot of people would think, I'll take a touch and then hit it, but to use the pace on the cross was a lovely finish. The second one as well was just as good, but I think our defence sort of messed that one up. If the goalkeeper gives a good shout or the centre half gets a better clearance, it's a totally avoidable goal to concede. But when we're 2-0 down, we're looking towards half time, I was thinking Belgium are just going to steamroll us now. But the girls were brilliant, showed all sorts of fight and ability and talent in tight areas, and Abby Larkin's goal was absolutely brilliant. I absolutely loved it. I'm not sure what she was doing on the fore swing when the ball comes to her. She swings on it and sort of misses, and then it goes between her and the centre half, and the goalkeeper gets teased and everybody goes, but Abby is the one who reacts quickest. And not only does she react quickest, the beautiful little dink to get it over the goalkeeper in a tight area is absolutely brilliant. The composure and the technical ability to do that. I was jumping up and down in the sitting room last night looking at the girls. I thought they were absolutely fantastic, and I don't think it should be underestimated when a game starts going against you like that, when you're up against you, you have a 4-2 lead and all of a sudden it's 4-4 and it's, you know, you're away from home, you're up against, it's very, very easy to roll over and get your belly tickled. But the girls were excellent. They stood up against it and showed all the passion and desire that you would want.
Yeah, the first ever Women's Nations League B team to defeat League A team in a promotion relegation playoff, 7 spots between them in the world rankings. Briefly, we are going to get to Celtic and we're going to be chatting to Mark Walker of the Daily Record a little bit later and get your thoughts on that as well, Keith. But just on the League Cup, Arsenal Brighton this evening, Liverpool Palace, Swansea Man City, Wolves Chelsea, Newcastle Tottenham. But last night, big win for Brentford. What would a trophy do? Now, I know I'm getting very, very carried away already here, but what would a trophy do for Keith Andrews in his first season at Brentford?
It would propel him to a level that I don't think he thought he would reach for the foreseeable future. I mean, you know, when you look at his trajectory of, you know, being a set-piece coach, being a coach in general, then a set-piece coach at Brentford, and then within a couple of years he's got the Brentford job. If he was to go and win a trophy, and look, this is only the fourth round of the EFL Cup, we shouldn't be getting ahead of ourselves. But
I'm getting a bit giddy, Keith.
Even within the Premier League, Shane, to be honest with you, a lot of people are saying to me he'll be the first manager sacked, he'll be gone before Christmas, and you know, whatever else. And I've looked and they've already beaten Manchester United at home, they've beaten Liverpool at home. The long throw could have been used as a stick to beat them with, but because it gets results, everybody's gone on board and thought, well, it's working for them, we'll do it. So he's a little bit of a trailblazer in that one as well. And I think Keith has just settled absolutely everybody down, and my mind is at ease, because I looked and thought, I hope my mate doesn't get in trouble here, I hope he doesn't get sacked before Christmas. But I think that Brentford team, when you look at Thomas Frank and the whole host of players they've lost over, not just this season, that the back end of last season as well, I think he's doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And where I was thinking Brentford would be happy to stay in the league, I think they might have more ambitious plans than that.
Brentford for Europe.
Who knows?
I'm going to pick your brain on perhaps your own League Cup stories a little bit later on as we return to Association Football. But we're going to take a short ad break, and then Damien Lawler is going to join us with all the latest Gaelic Games news.
RTE
2FM. Game on.
Gaelic football.
Now, Damien Lawler joins us with all the latest Gaelic Games news. And Damien, let us begin our conversation on the club scene, because the various county finals have thrown up more than a few headlines and no less shocks during the month of October. In Cavan, Kingscourt Stars provided an upset of sorts when defeating Gaona in the football decider. And one of the interesting things here is there was a Meath man at the heart of the Kingscourt success.
Yeah, and look at him, I suppose the story of Jordan Morris is probably really come to the fore in the past year in the public domain, Shane. But like, the reality there is Jordan played football for Nobber and played county football for Meath, but his family rooted in Kings Gordon Cavan, and that's where he was as a boy. And when he was 9 years of age, when the club won the county title in 2010, his grandfather, Jim McGovern, was the bus driver. Jim was a former club chairperson, and he was there again when they repeated the feat in 2015. So Jordan Morris is a pivotal part of a King's Court team. And I think he had an unbelievable county final in recent times, a few weeks ago. They had come from being beaten by Gowna by 17 points in the 2023 final. And I think he came around, and I think he got something like, off the top of my head, maybe 9 or 10 points in the county final. And through the tutelage maybe of Colin Kelly, and I know Colin is probably a proficient coach, he's the manager of the team, would have worked very closely with Jordan up front. But really, since the new rules have come into play, Jordan Morris has been reborn, revitalised. Absolutely shooting the lights out for county and club. And yeah, look, it is very, very strange that, well, not strange, but it's very, very fascinating that you've been playing for one county, but you're playing for another club, and there's no great distance in between. But the bottom line is, his roots are in Kings Court. They're the lads, his best friend, the lads he went to school with. And he was as happy as anybody to win a Cavan County title. But he's a meat man as well at the same time, Shane. So it's just indicative of the stories that are out there in the GEA club scene at the moment. But Jordan Morris is right up there. And look, let's hear from him now. They play Erin Gales from Fermanagh this weekend in the Ulster Club, and I think they'll give it a right rattle. But let's see what the man himself here had to say.
Yeah, Jordan Morris speaking at the launch of the AIB GAA Club Championships.
Jordan, it's lovely to chat to you again.
Yeah, man.
I was just chatting to your manager, Colin Kelly, who's out grabbing a few rays of sun. I might as well start with him. He's a football fanatic, Jordan. And what was it like working with him this year? He's very technical, very much about the forward play as well. Did you enjoy working with him?
Yeah. No, I did, in fairness. Like, Colin, he's a good football man. Like, he's a corner forward like myself. I have more phone calls from Colin than I have from my mother in the last 10 years, I'd say, in the past 2 months. That just shows how passionate he is about it. Like it's honestly, it's unbelievable to be, or to see that and be a part of it. Like, for a lad coming in outside of the club to be like that, like trying to just get the best out of us, it was great. Like, and his tactical mind, like the way he had us playing, second to none.
Yeah, he's fairly intense about it as well, Jordan. Just to win with your boyhood club, and I know people would see you playing in the Green and Gold with Meath, but like you're a Kingsport man true and true from an early age, and I know you had a few years with Nobber, but what did that mean to you? I mean, just to be with your friends that you grew up with.
Yeah, I know, it was unbelievable. Seeing Kingsport win in 2010 and 15, just seeing the community come together and just wanting to support their own. To be a part of that in this year in 25, you know, it's nearly felt like a dream come true, because to see, just to look out, standing in that lorry, you know, seeing all the people in the town, it's what you play for, you know, to give these people the joy and give yourself the joy. And that's what it's all about.
Jordan, there was a fair turnaround from a few years beforehand as well. I mean, you played them before, maybe in the final 2 years ago, and it was a significant margin. In your own opinion, what happened in the interim to kind of reduce that margin and get you guys over the line?
Yeah, I didn't really look back in 23 too much now, to be fair, but a few kickouts might have caused that game to go a bit awry, to be fair now. But we look like we knew, like, Gowna are goal hungry. We said if we can stop them scoring goals, it'll go an almighty way to us winning the game. And we did, and we won. So that was a big part of it, we felt, and we stopped them doing that.
Just in terms of, would it be a very positive thing that you actually have a chance now to enjoy the win, and you know you're not playing Ulster Championship match for a couple of weeks, Jordan? That's important, because for some clubs that win, they're out the following weekend, and it's the odds are stacked against them.
Yeah, it does give you the opportunity to go out and enjoy it. Like, we definitely enjoyed it. We did a couple of days celebrations now, to be fair. Maybe a couple of days too much. But look, we just seen we had a month from winning the game, we said we have to enjoy it, because this is what it's all about, you know, playing with lads you grew up with and all this. Like, you have to go out and enjoy it. And we were back training there last night, and all fully focused on Fermanagh Champions now. We'll look at that game Saturday. And yeah, we'll look forward to that now in 2 weeks.
That'll roll around quickly. Just a final question for you, Jordan. been an unbelievable year, really, in many ways, hasn't it? Like, I mean, to just even go back to the intercounty scene then, maybe what's your recollections of that as you look back on the year? You brought so much excitement, so much drama, so much colour, yet a little disappointments, obviously, here and there as well. How do you look back on the year as a whole, John?
Yeah, well, look, I said myself, like, I have to look it back as a success, even though we didn't win silverware. Like, we still, like, to see the crowds coming out to the games in the green and gold of Meath, like, it was something you just dream of. To be playing in front of a sold-out Croke Park and All-Ireland semi-final day, like, did I ever think I'd experience that only in my dreams? And to actually go out and play, you can only, it just fills yourself with pride, like, that we did that. We, like, Meath is such a great football and county, like, and the supporters, everyone just wants a team to support, and that's what we're trying to do, and it's hopefully something we'll continue to do as well.
Yeah, you had an unreal year. Hopefully it'll continue. Thanks for your time, Jordan. It's
thanks, Amy. Thanks for that. Cheers. Good chatting to you. Thanks.
Yeah, it should be a cracking Ulster Club quarter-final. Some great scenes actually during the week on social media with Loch McCrory and Madden meeting in the same pub and singing We Are County Champions. So some great club action to look forward to. From Gaelic football to hurling, Damien, reports this week that the Wexford hurling management team may have a bit of a shake-up with a former League of Ireland boss involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Keith Rossiter has probably had a good, long, hard look at the setup that he has, the players that he has, and the management team that he has. And, you know, Keith's obviously from a great hurling club in Ollar de Balla, but his total focus is on the Wexford Intercounty team. Like, we were talking to Jordan Morris there through the AIB Club Championship, Shane, but the likes of Keith looking fully ahead and completely focused on Intercounty. And he's made a few changes to his backroom team. So he's brought in a selector called Andy Ronan from Rathnew, who will be fairly well known locally. But Shane O'Brien is a big addition. He's coming in as a coach. Shane O'Brien managed the Westmeath senior team. He managed the Dublin under 20 team as well. And he's been highly regarded in the coaching circles of late, well, for the last number of years. But the person you speak of is Shane Keegan of Laois. He was manager of JK Bracken's hurling team in Tipperary this year, and obviously a former League of Ireland manager. He's with Cove Ramblers, and he had some time involved with Dundalk as well. And on the S&C front too, Chris Coburn from Dublin has gone in too. He worked previously with the Kilkenny senior hurling team, the Wicklow senior footballers, and Munster rugby. So huge amount of change there, Shane, as Wexford bid to try and improve their fortunes going forward next year.
Okay, one to keep an eye on. A good news story for the legendary Larry Tompkins, Damien. 3.5 decades since he capped Cork's summer of summers by lifting the Sam Maguire and completing the double. He had an uplifting night, inducted into the Hall of Fame after a tough year.
Yeah, a tough year, because Larry has probably won a couple of Hall of Fame awards in the past 12 months. He was a Hall of Fame winner at the Munster GAA Awards last year, but unfortunately wasn't well enough to attend on the night. His family accepted on his behalf, but it was great that he was at the Gaelic Writers Association Awards, which were sponsored by the Latta Hotel Group last weekend, and he was there. Larry was, about 12 months, Larry was finally diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer. Only 1 in 5 million people have it, Shane. And he had to undergo 25 rounds of radiant treatment, but the rarity of the illness was such that it took nearly 2 years to get a proper diagnosis. And initially, Larry feared that it could be asbestos-related because of his time spent working in the building sites over in America. So he was hospitalised late last winter to try and get to the bottom of it. And it was discovered then that he had a tumour on the wall of his lung. So Larry was maybe a bit upset that it hadn't been caught sooner, but he changed consultant and he went straight away to seek treatment. And he found out the eventual diagnosis of it. But the tumour was deemed inoperable by specialists over in London. But it hadn't grown. And he basically, Larry went on radiant treatment during the summer. He got 25 goes of it. He takes an immunotherapy tablet now every day. Another tablet sent for pain relief. So he's able to, I suppose he has it contained. And the positive news is that the tumour hasn't spread. And it's over three years now. So he's going to... He's going to, I suppose, do what Larry Tompkins does. He's going to live with it. And he's looking for at least another 20 years, if not 30, Shane. But it was great to see him, you know, they see him at the awards last Friday night. And I suppose it's 38 years since he absolutely burst onto the scene, you know. Probably left Kildare in less than ideal circumstances. It was a really top-rated player. Went over to New York, met... Cork, I suppose the Collins brothers, Vincent and Anthony from Castlehaven and Cork, came back to join Castlehaven. But Cork people knew what they were getting. They had him playing for the Rebels before he even played for the club. But obviously, life, career, sporting legend, Lee Side. And it's just great then to see that the fight that the man has. He's getting his strength back gradually. And he said in an interview with my colleagues, he's able to cut the grass last week again. And it had been the first time in some kind of period of time that he felt well enough to do so. So just to wish him all the best. What a legend he is, Shane. And, you know, his legacy in Gaelic games is secure forever.
Absolutely. We wish him all the best from everyone here at Game On and a healthy and happy future. Finally, Damien, returning to the club scene, we touched on a few of the big football stories on Monday night with Austin O'Malley, but some notable successes in hurling too, both in Tipperary and Kilkenny.
Yeah, Loughmore Castellini have won a back-to-back for the first time in their history. And I think everybody maybe in Tipperary felt that they were favourites to win that game against the Nina Oak side. But Nina Oak are some team. Like they've got Barry Heffernan, the former All-Ireland winner with Tipperary. They've Mikey Heffernan and Tommy Heffernan, class players. They had Jake Morris, who's a Hurler of the Year nominee. And they had Sam Farrell, who's Munster and All-Ireland winning under-20 captain and an All-Ireland senior winner this year too. They had Mason Cawley and Jake Donnellan and Houlihan, county under-20 and minor players as well. And maybe lots of athleticism, and have been playing very, very well this year, managed by Hugh Maloney, another All-Ireland winner with Tip. And the feeling was that maybe they might put it up to Loughmore Castellani. But no matter what happened, no matter what way Nina weaved their setup or their shape, Loughmore found an extra man somewhere and actually played through the lines. And they're an unbelievable team at laying the ball off, maybe as they look to be going out of possession. If a player is falling, they somehow get the pass away and they open up space for somewhere. And not for the first time, when Noel and John McGrath were probably kept relatively quiet, it was their cousin Liam who stepped up, and you know, he got man of the match with a goal of four, a goal of five. They're just an incredible team. Got beaten in the county football semi-final last weekend, but they march on now. They play Shane O'Donnell's team, Aroge, in the Munster, in the AIB Munster Championship. And I suppose maybe then too, just a lot of glory in the club championship. But certainly, as you mentioned, over to Kenny as well, because TJ Reid became the standout county title record holder in Kenny by winning 12 county titles. Shane, it's absolutely incredible. He got 11 points in total. And I think it elevated the club to 21 county titles. So they're now top of the list, and TJ then is top of the list as well for having most medals won. Of course, Henry Shefflin back in charge of that team. They beat O'Loughlin Gaels by 118 to 12 points. And I think really, if you're reading the stats and all that and reading the interviews afterwards, what was really, really fascinating was the team won the county title having only had a 16% win ratio last year. So Shefflin is back. You know, TJ is making records, and he confirmed then after the game that if they want him back in Kilkenny, he'll be going back for another year as well. So I think Patrick Horgan's stats as the leading championship and league scorer are going to be hunted down fiercely by TJ Reid.
It was great, actually. Tommy Welsh was on co-commentary in Ballyhale, top of the Roll of Honour now, ahead of Tullerone. And who else but Tommy Welsh to be on co-commentary? So there's some great lines in his praising of TJ Reid. Listen, you're back in the box this Saturday, Leinster Senior Football Championship action on RT2 and the RT Player.
Yes, indeed, Shane. We are in Dr. Cullen Park for the meeting of the Carlow champions and O'Loughlin, and the meeting of the Leash champions. Port Arlington, who beat Cortwood in the Leash final. We're on air from maybe 6 o'clock, 6:15 on RT2, and really looking forward to what should be a cracking local derby down there. And you know, I said it on the show last week, in my opinion, the Leinster Championship is wide open, Shane. So these two will feel that maybe they're coming in under the radar, but O'Loughlin have some fine players, the likes of Mikey Bambrick and all that, and they put Radvili away in the county final, but Port Arlington needed a replay to get past Cortwood. So it'll be intriguing to see how the teams get on after two fairly tight county finals. I'm really looking forward to it.
No doubt it will be a cracker. For now, Damien Lawler, pleasure as always. Thanks for joining us.
Game on.
Association football.
Cork City in an FAI Cup, Oasis and Westlife Turin. Martin O'Neill is Celtic manager. It's a proper throwback, Keith Tracy, isn't it?
It is great, isn't it? When it was carefree back in the 90s, yeah. I believe it's over 7,000 days since Martin O'Neill managed Celtic.
The glory days of the 90s. The glory days of the 90s. Now, Mark Walker is going to join the conversation now. Mark Walker of the Daily Record, Scottish journalist. Mark, thanks so much for joining us here on Game On. So, if we rewind, not all the way back to the 90s now, but just a couple of days. So, Celtic confirmed Brendan Rodgers has resigned as manager effective immediately. The club thanked him for his contributions across both managerial spells and announced an interim management team of Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney while they search for a new permanent manager. A little while later, Dermot Desmond accuses Brendan Rodgers of misrepresenting the club's support and causing division through misleading public comments about transfers and operations. It defends the club's structure and reaffirms commitment to unity and progress. As is everything when situations like this occur, I feel the truth is somewhere in the middle ground, Mark.
Well, yeah, you could say that. I mean, it came as an absolute bombshell to everyone in Glasgow when this happened. No one saw it coming. You know, everyone knew that, you know, Brendan Rodgers obviously wasn't happy with the situation. He made that perfectly clear with all his comments that he'd made since the start of the season at press conferences. And I think Dermot had just basically had enough. I think he just took it upon himself. I mean, the statement that he put out was just absolutely explosive. Very, very un-Celtic-like thing to do. You know, it's more... As we've seen these statements over the years from sort of Rangers, everyone was incredulous that it came from Celtic, and it clearly came from Dermot himself. He'd had enough. He'd obviously felt very wronged with the way that Brendan had conducted himself, really since the end of the transfer window, when he made it perfectly clear that he was unhappy with the club's dealings in the market, and I think he just snapped, and that was it.
Well, there's been ongoing unrest from Celtic fans towards Celtic's ownership and board of management.
Yeah.
Is this going to inflame the situation and in particular releasing a statement of that nature?
Yeah, I don't think the fans are amused with Dermot's actions, to put it mildly. I think there was a lot of... disquiet about the way Brendan had gone about the season so far. Celtic hadn't been playing well, knocked out the Champions League, 8 points behind Hearts. Really looked like a club in crisis, a lot of injury problems as well. But, you know, they were already at breaking point when it came to the board's dealings with the transfer market. And the statement from Dermot has not gone down well at all with the fans, who have basically accused him of just, you know, using the club as a toy, as a plaything. And I think this will inflame the situation even further.
They have a league match this evening, a League Cup semi-final at the weekend. So how do you feel the Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney duo will fare as interim management team?
Very, very hard to say. I mean, he's been out, you know, not just out of football for so long. He's out of the Scottish game for so long. I mean, he was, you know, a couple of hours before he was actually appointed, he was... tipping Hearts for the league.
Yeah.
You know, he was slaughtering Celtic for being too weak. So I don't know how he would... I mean, he's 73, isn't he? So
yeah.
I don't know how he would... how he's going to adapt to the situation. It may give the players a boost. He may G them up. Sean Maloney's quite a good coach to have in as well. But it's anybody's guess. They're a shambles at the moment on the pitch. Celtic, you know, they're really down to the bare bones. So many injury problems. Even when they had a settled team out, they weren't playing well. They had very few really good performances this season. And as I say, the transfer market was a complete disaster for them.
Keith, put yourself in the Celtic dressing room with your player's hat on here. So Brendan Rodgers goes, and who knows, certain relationships with players, and Brendan, obviously it hasn't been going well. 8 points behind Hearts in the league. Qualification for Champions League didn't work out how they would have envisaged it. So when you have Martin O'Neill coming back, and listen, he left 20 years ago after a trophy-laden spell, brilliant win record, absolute legend around the parts. But there's, as Mark is outlining there, someone who hasn't been involved since 2019, and the game has changed. And albeit, okay, I said tongue-in-cheek to Paul Corey last night, long throws and the old steel game is back for Martin O'Neill, might suit him. But if you're a player, how would you react to seeing Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney rock up?
It's difficult to tell. I'm not sure a lot of the Celtic players, I'm sure once you go to a club you start to realise the history, and there'll be pictures of Martin O'Neill knocking around, so I'm sure they've done their history. They will realise just how important of a figure Martin O'Neill is to Celtic, and Sean Maloney, obviously very, very good player in his time at Celtic. But Look, I think if you're a player, there's a lot of times in your career where you can lie to yourself and you're saying, oh, the owner's done this and the manager's done that and it's all off the field issues. But if Celtic don't get knocked out of Champions League against Almaty, if they're not 8 points behind Hearts in the SBL, then none of this stuff really matters. You know, it's all because what's happening on the pitch, that the stuff off the field now has become highlighted and it's all a little bit messy. It's all so messy. And I understand the fans' frustration with, you know, Celtic being a cash-rich club and not really spending the amount of money that people would like. But I still think within the dressing room, Celtic are far superior to the teams they've been losing to. And I mean that against the likes of a Hearts, you know, they should have done an awful lot better against
Dundee.
Against Dundee, sorry, as well. Mm. Yeah, so they've two losses on the bounce in the SBL. And I honestly think the fact that Rangers aren't doing so well, Celtic maybe are looking around thinking, we don't really fancy Hearts to go and win the league. And they're looking over the shoulders at Rangers and thinking, well, we're not being pushed and it's all a little bit easy. But I'm sure Martin O'Neill will go in there and he'll try to galvanise the dressing room. But you look at some of the names that's being mentioned that going into Celtic, like Craig Bellamy, Ange Postecoglou, he's getting bounced around. He only just lost the Forest job. And I believe there was a gift arrived at the City Ground for Ange only a couple of days ago. And you know, that's the mentalness of football at the minute. So I'm really not too sure. But I think all of this stuff gets swept under the carpet if Celtic start winning football games again.
What's the word on the ground, Mark? Who are the realistic contenders, do you feel, for the gig on a permanent basis?
Well, the favourite, I would imagine, well, Craig Bellamy's been mentioned, Robbie Keane's been mentioned as well. I think there'd be a major problem with Robbie Keane because of his stint in Israel. That would not go down particularly well with Celtic fans, to put it mildly. Kieran McKenna seems to be the big name that was initially mentioned, but I think it would cost an awful lot of money for Celtic to go and get him, although I think he's very Celtic favourable, isn't he? So Postecoglou, I can't imagine in a million years it would be a massive step backwards for him if he was to come back to Scotland. I think he'd be looking for a club in Europe. Very, very surprised if anything went on with that. To say Craig Bellamy has been the latest one that's been mentioned today. Nicky Hayne, I think, at Club Bruges as well. He's got a shout as well. So it's very much a case. I think they'll give Martin O'Neill a couple of games. It's a good chance he could galvanise the players. They should get a boost. He's a motivator. He should get them playing. And let's be honest, it shouldn't take that much for a team of Celtic's quality with the players they have and the squad they have to be winning games again in Scotland. But for who's getting the job, then depends, I would imagine, how much Dermot's nose has been put out of joint and how much he's actually willing to invest, you know, heavily on a new management team and whether he'll spend to get, you know, compensation for, you know, from Ipswich.
Very difficult question to answer here, I appreciate, Mark, but how emotionally invested do you feel Dermot Desmond is in Celtic? Because he's been labelled as the absentee landlord and he's on record of even saying, oh, it's the sons who kind of have the big interest and he's the figurehead. Like, you can understand the frustration at Celtic fans, but how much do you feel that he actually cares?
Very difficult question. He seems to have these, every couple of years, have these moments where it's almost as if somebody's sort of prodded him or poked him, and he suddenly, you know, when Rangers won the league a few years ago, that seemed to, you know, joke him, get him into back interested in Celtic again. He invested a lot, went all in and Postecoglou, went again for Rodgers. Then he just seems to have lost it. He seems to go through these spells where he sort of loses interest, and now he's back again. And the one thing with Dermot Desmond, certainly you guys will know this, that, you know, when you do provoke him, then he will come back. And I think now he will go all out, I would imagine, in January and give the new manager, you know, a substantial sum to deal with because they really need some new players.
How attractive is the Celtic manager job at the moment?
The guaranteed Champions League football, you would think anyway. If you like medals, Scotland's the place to come from because you've got a very, very good chance of getting them. It's also a very good platform to go to England. I would say it's still a very, very attractive job. I would imagine they would get plenty of applicants, plenty of interested parties. You know, again, obviously, of course, you play in front of 60,000 fans every week. So I would say, yeah, it's still a very attractive job. As long as they actually do start getting backed a bit more in the transfer market, because, as I say, the summer dealings was pitiful for a club like Celtic, to be honest.
And the pressure that goes with managing Celtic, Keith Tracy, and Brendan Rodgers has alluded to it in the past, that it's a pressure like no other, and you can compare it to England. Are you buying that?
I think so. I think there is certain places, certain clubs throughout the UK that are just that little bit unique. I think Newcastle is one that I just think is one of those unique atmospheres. I think Celtic is one up in Scotland that it's just totally, totally unique, and the demands that are put on the manager and the players at the club are probably a little bit out of kilter. Because when you look back at what Celtic have done, they've won the league for the last however many number of years. They generally go very deep into winning the Scottish Cup, and they throw a couple of punches within Europe. So if you're on the board and you know the fans are demanding, I understand they've gone one end and they've gone really, really tight with the money. But they what do Celtic fans want? 60 million trying it and to get through a couple of rounds, or not a couple of rounds, get out of the league phase of the Champions League. I think that's a long, long way off for Celtic. So I'm not sure how much money or what type of signings they want to bring in, because let's be honest, Celtic, you know, although they're a huge club, huge fan base, they're not shopping at the top table in terms of European talent. So they've got to go and unearth a diamond, or, you know, a Virgil van Dijk, get somebody who's not quite ready, get him there, polish him up, and then sell him off for big, big money. So the scouting system to Celtic is absolutely massive as well.
Yeah, and even you compare it, actually, I think his last starting 11, some proper cult heroes: Rab Douglas, Didier Gat, Bobo Balde, Stan Varga, Jackie Mack, Cillian Petrov, Neil Lennon, Chris Hutton, Alan Thompson, John Hartson and Craig Velli, compared to what he has to work with at the moment. Is there a fear, Mark, this could really unravel for Celtic? There's rumours of Michael Nicholson now being under pressure as CEO.
Yeah, 100%. There's protests every week. The fans have made it very, very clear that they've had enough of, you know, magnificent balance sheets telling them they've got £80 million in the bank. What's the point if they don't spend it? That's Celtic fans have made it very, very clear. They're not happy with the way the club's been run. They're not happy with the way the board are run. You know, they put out a statement a few weeks ago that was absolutely ridiculed. It was a disastrous statement to put out. That made inflamed the situation even more. It could unravel if they don't start getting their act together on the pitch, then, and Hearts go further ahead, which is, there's every possibility of that, then, you know, it could really start turning very nasty.
Mark,
soon.
Mark Walker, journalist with the Daily Record, thank you so much for joining us and detailing all of that. Let's cross to Talla Stadium. Shamrock Rovers against Galway United. Shamrock Rovers have the opportunity to be crowned league champions this evening. John Kenny has team news.
Yeah, Rovers have had three opportunities in recent weeks to get the single point they need to secure their fifth title in the last six seasons, and their 22nd in all. But the feast at Shelburne, St Pat's and last Sunday in Derry City have put those celebrations on hold for the moment, at least. Well, tonight they face the Galway United side, who are still something to play for. They're still battling to stay in the Premier Division. Cork City are relegated, but Galway are in a three-way fight to avoid the promotion relegation game, which also involves Waterford and Sligo. And they go to Waterford on Saturday for their final game of the season, while Sligo themselves will be here in Tala to face the Hoops also on Saturday afternoon. You would think Rovers should get at least a point tonight against a Galway side that nevertheless drew 0-0 here in their league meeting in May. And even if Rovers lose tonight, they'll have one more opportunity against Sligo in that game I mentioned on Saturday. But Rovers fans obviously hoping it won't drag on till the weekend, and they could do it tonight. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff this evening. And those team news changes that you mentioned, there's a couple for Shamrock Rovers from the defeat to Derry. Rory Gaffney and John McGovern come into the starting 11. It's also a league debut for Max Kovalevskis, the 17-year-old, as part of the Republic of Ireland Under-17 World Cup squad. So he gets his full debut tonight for Shamrock Rovers, while Galway themselves are unchanged from their recent 1-1 draw with Drogheda United. So could be wrapped up tonight, but you never know. The way things have gone for Rovers in the last couple of weeks, we could drag it out to the last day of the season, but I think they'll do it tonight, and we kick it off at 8 o'clock.
Brilliant stuff. John Kenny, thank you for detailing that. John Kenny will have reaction on Morning Ireland and RT Radio 1 tomorrow. Keith Tracy, what do you make of that team? Just briefly, I should say, McGovern and Gaffney up top.
Big call, isn't it? 17-year-old Kovalevskis coming in for such a big, big game. He's could be one of his first games in a Shamrock Rovers jersey. He could be lifting a trophy. Be brilliant for the young man. So, brilliant for Stephen Bradley. I like the look of Gaffney. I think he's got that bit between his teeth, but I wouldn't be writing off Galway. I think they're a dogged team, and as we know, got an awful lot to play for down the wrong end of the table.
Guancala for me now. You've been previewing it very neutrally there and very professionally. But
One all. Yeah, I think Galway will get something.
Okay. Galway will get something. They'll have a little bit of advantage to relegation, but Rovers will be crowned champions.
Yep.
Okay. Great stuff. Keith Tracy, your gentleman. Appreciate your company this evening. That is all we have time for. Big thanks for tuning in and listening. It's been great to have your company. We're back tomorrow from the usual time, 6 p.m. here on 2FM. Stay tuned now because up next, the brilliant Beto da Silva with a new music show. Today's Game On was produced by Andrew O'Connor and our broadcast coordinator was Gerla Holland. So for me, Shane Dawson, and all of the Game On team, have a great evening. Mind yourself. Good luck.
This is 2FM.